The ascension of Jesus Christ is a holy, dramatic, all-encompassing event which he has done for us. He has not left us, but he serves us. He intercedes for us. He sends his Spirit. These different texts about his ascension, recording his ascension, have a lot of points and things that can comfort and guide us. Out of the three texts that we read, then I've picked several things just to focus our minds on what is this ascension of Jesus Christ and what it means to us. To start, I reread two of the verses from that Ephesians 1 passage, verses 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ascension's very important for us Christians to continually to remember, to continually be comforted, so that we don't have any fears, because Jesus is in charge. St. Paul recorded incredible teachings in that first Ephesians chapter 1 passage. Listen, that God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. There's nothing left out there that Jesus is not over. He's over all things. In the world events, daily we hear things. Good and largely not so good, or even just bad. But Christ ascended into heaven shows that he is over all. And there really is nothing that he would have us fear. If we're with him, we don't have to be afraid. And as part of his church, Jesus is with us. We are a part of Jesus himself. We are his body. So the things that go on day after day, and some things get quite intense, problems or difficulties, Jesus wants us to remember we are part of him. There is nothing of his rule or of his reign that he withholds from us for his good, for our good, and his honor. Evil things may happen to us, difficult things. Illness, accident, setbacks. But these things are not outside of Jesus' control when we are in him. They may be tests to our faith. They may be a way he's giving us to be a witness. He knows why he allows these things to happen. But when we are in Christ, his ascension teaches us that he is above all things and all powers. And nothing happens to us without his okay, without his approval, because he wants us to be with him forever. That's why he died. That's why he rose. He has all power, and he wants us not to fear. Also very closely connected with his ascension is the opening of the minds of his disciples to the scriptures. He rose from the dead, his saving work to atone for the sins of the world was done. But he wanted his disciples to know and understand, and then also to teach what this was all about, what he had done. The passage from Luke 24 says, Jesus to his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That's what Jesus wants. To open his disciples' minds to the scriptures and his apostles to start so that they would teach and write the New Testament books and letters so that also our minds might be open to the scriptures. This is his deep desire for us to know and to understand who he is and what he's done for us and that message. And it's very, very important for us to always be drawn back to his word and have him open our minds to his word. Why? Because without that understanding of God's word, other words will be spoken. Just automatically. If it's not God's word or living in his word and sharing his word, being comforted by his word, if it's not his word, then it's going to be others' words. And we know, and it's been in our Bible classes and numerous discussions lately, there's a lot of other words out in the world. And if we're not in his word and he doesn't open our minds to his word, then we're just going to share in all these other words that don't lead to Christ, that don't lead to life with God. So we need our minds open to the scriptures, because there's a lot of other words out there, but they're not saving words. They're not comforting words. But he wants us to know what he is about and how he takes care of us. He promised his disciples the Holy Spirit. And that coming of the Holy Spirit's power had a lot of things going on with it. It had those things that looked like tongues of fire on the heads of the disciples at First Pentecost Sunday. It had them speaking different languages. It had miracles, great miracles in the early church. But when we look at his promise specifically, we see his number one priority in all these things was to be his witnesses. That was the real essence and power of the Holy Spirit, that they would be witnesses to Christ. He said in Acts 1, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Do you see how close that is? You will be my witnesses. The power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus opened the minds of his disciples and of us through them and through their writings, but also not just to keep it to ourselves, but to be witnesses to Christ. And not witnesses of how great we might be or of any miracles or something like that, but witnesses to what he has done. So we're empowered to be witnesses, and it's always instructive to remember, what is that Greek word there, witnesses? Martyr. Right then, at the time of the New Testament times, that word martyr meant to be witness or to give a testimony. It didn't necessarily mean to die for it. That wasn't the first meaning of it. But what happened was, in the early church, people died so often for being witnesses the word and the term of martyr came to mean dying for the faith. And so in our day and age, 2,000 years after Christ, after there have been so many martyrs, people who have witnessed and died for the faith, it's good to remember that. We are his witnesses to the end, to Christ and what he has done. And on my notes there, my copy of the sermon notes, I have circled right there, "You will be my witnesses." I've circled "my." We belong to Christ. We're witnesses of him that he has sent, but we're also witnesses to him. And he knows that it's not us that save people. It's not my goodness or my strength or my power. It's his goodness and his strength and his power. We're witnesses to him, and we belong to him, and we point to him both. That can take the fear of witnessing away, because we're not witnessing about ourselves. We're witnessing to Christ and about him. And in him, there is no fear, because he is over all. And that's the comfort we can tell others as well. He is over all. Don't be afraid. He's died and risen for your sins. He gives life. Even in the midst of this illness, even in the midst of this tragedy, Christ gives life and he is over all. That is what his ascension is about. Even though he's left us bodily, he has not left us. He has sent us the Holy Spirit. He opens our minds to his word. He has control of all things, taking care of us. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, take away our fears. Open our minds to your word. Make us to be good witnesses to you. Give us trust and confidence in you in all things. In your name we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.